Let's continue reading verses 1 through 4 of Jonah chapter 3. Now, in this first section of Jonah chapter 3, the Lord recommissions his servant Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Once again, some background notes. The buried ruins of ancient Nineveh have been excavated. They are in modern Iraq today. You know, I'd love to see those excavations, but I have not had the chance to get to Nineveh yet. You know, we were planning a Bible Lands tour to both Nineveh and Babylon a few years ago, but Operation Desert Storm forced us to change our plans. Ancient Nineveh was a great city. You know, we read that first back in chapter 1, verse 2, when God initially called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Look back at chapter 1, verse 2. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Here in chapter 3, verse 2, when Jonah is recommissioned, we again read that Nineveh is a great city. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." And then in verse 3, we read, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent." Now notice, it is not Jonah that calls Nineveh a great city. God calls Nineveh a great city. Now, why did God call Nineveh a great city? Was it because of the magnificent buildings and sculptures that have been found in the ruins of Nineveh? No. Was it because of the power that Nineveh and the Assyrian Empire wielded over the ancient world? No. Was it because of the massive walls that surrounded the city? You know, ancient historians said the city was surrounded by two walls, and the huge inner wall was 100 feet high and 50 feet wide, broad enough for three chariots to ride abreast. Is that why God called Nineveh great? No. God called Nineveh great because of the great number of people there. It's estimated that at least 600,000 people lived in Nineveh, and at least 1 million people in the immediate area. So that's what makes a city great in God's eyes. It's not the grandeur or power of the city, but how many people need to be saved. Verse 3 says that Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. Now, while Nineveh was definitely a large city, still, it does not take 3 days to walk across or around the ruins of ancient Nineveh. But this is not a contradiction in the Bible. The point is that there were so many people in this great city that it would take Jonah a 3 days journey throughout the city to preach to all these people. That's the idea. And more we could say for background, but our time is moving on. So let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this first section of Jonah chapter 3. So doctrinal point number 1, God graciously recommissions his erring servants. God graciously recommissions his erring servants. Verses 1 and 2 once again. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message I tell you." At the end of Jonah chapter 2, Jonah is restored to fellowship with the Lord, but he is not yet recommissioned. In fact, from Jonah's perspective, he doesn't know whether the Lord is going to recommission him or not. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jonah was even hoping that God would send someone else to Nineveh. Nineveh needed grace to be saved. Jonah needed grace to serve. Jonah would still rather serve the Lord in ways other than going to Nineveh. We pick that up, certainly, when we get to chapter 4. Jonah may have been thinking that he was restored to fellowship with the Lord, but shelved as far as future service is concerned. Now let me ask you, Would you have recommissioned Jonah? After all, he walked away from the job. Would you have recommissioned Jonah? We probably would have fired Jonah, but God loves to hire those we would fire. Hey, that's good enough for your notes, right? But God loves to hire those we would fire. What an encouragement for us. God loves to recommission us when he restores us. God graciously recommissions his erring servants. God's call comes once again. Maybe on the beach where Jonah was thrown up. Maybe Jonah had gone home to Gath Hepher. Maybe that's where the call came. We don't know for sure. But there it is. Verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. The call is coming the second time. Wow. And so Jonah arose. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. What a change in attitude from what we saw in chapter 1. Not that Jonah wants to go to Nineveh necessarily, but he's obedient. That's the point. He's obedient. He arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Let me ask you, what direction are you traveling in your life as a believer? In obedience to Nineveh or in disobedience to Tarshish? Listen, if you're heading to Tarshish right now, here's the good news. Know that God is willing to restore you to fellowship if you repent of your disobedience. And furthermore, God is willing to recommission you in service for him. God graciously recommissions his erring servants. And doctrinal point number 2, God graciously re-engages his erring creatures. God graciously re-engages his erring creatures. The Bible teaches that when God created man, there was a relationship and communion between God and man. But then sin came in and broke that relationship. From that moment on, the human race has been alienated from God. There is no longer communion between the Creator and the creatures that he made in his own image. But God still loves people. And 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. So God reaches out and seeks to re-engage his creatures. Ever since the fall, God has been doing this. Think of the message that went out at the time of Noah. For 120 years through the preaching of Noah, God sought to re-engage the lost. Coming down now to the time of Abraham. Think of how God had Abraham rescue the people of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 14. Remember that? The people of Sodom and Gomorrah were rescued from the hands of those kings from the east. Genesis 14. Certainly, those people then had a chance to follow the Lord before he sent the judgment in Genesis 19. Come down to the time of the conquest. The same was true of the Canaanites. Before God judged them at the time of the conquest, he sought to re-engage them. In Genesis 15, God told Abraham that his descendants would be in Egypt 400 years because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. All during that time, God was seeking to re-engage the lost in Canaan. Well, here again, at the time of Jonah, God in his grace was seeking to reach out and re-engage the lost, even the cruel Assyrians. God graciously re-engages his erring creatures. Now, when you look at the message of Jonah, you might conclude that it was not a message of grace, right? But a message of judgment. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown, verse 4. Where's the grace here? Where is the grace? I think you see it, right? Obviously, the 40 days. They had 40 days in which to repent. 40 in Scripture is the number for testing. God graciously tested them, and they passed the test. They repented in probably the greatest spiritual awakening in history. Notice, by the way, that sermons do not have to be long to be effective. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was it. Sermons don't have to be long to be effective. I'm still working on this, by the way. Jonah's services there in Nineveh were very short. No music, no drama, just a message of a few words, right? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Overthrown like a table being overturned. And notice that this is exactly the message that God gave Jonah. Verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Jonah did not give his own views, only the word of the Lord. Hey, that's another great lesson for preachers today, isn't it? Preach the Bible, the word of the Lord, not the ideas of man. The great commission from our Lord was, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. God wants to re-engage his creatures who are lost because of sin. If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, then you are lost and alienated from God because of your sin. But God loves you. That's the good news. God loves you and is graciously seeking to reach out and heal that broken relationship and forgive your sin and give you peace. But you must receive Christ as your Savior by an act of your will. That's your part. Not works. It's a matter of your will. Works will not save you. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Your alienation from God can end this morning. Your broken relationship with your Creator can be put back together because God graciously re-engages his erring creatures. Practical application. You can know the Lord as the God of the second chance. You can know the Lord as the God of the second chance. I've been just speaking to you this morning in the last couple of minutes, if you're here as an unbeliever. Are you here this morning as a believer and you've failed the Lord in some way? I mean, the Lord called you to do something, gave you a chance to serve him, but you failed. You even disobeyed. Listen, God is the God of the second chance. He's a God of second time grace, if you will. Think of how Peter failed the Lord, but Peter came to know the Lord as the God of the second chance. Think of how John Mark failed the Lord when he quit the missionary team of Paul and Barnabas. But John Mark came to know the Lord as the God of the second chance. God even used him to write a book of scripture, the Gospel of Mark. Certainly, you see the restoration there. Think of Jonah and how he deliberately disobeyed the Lord, but God graciously recommissioned Jonah. Jonah came to know the Lord as the God of the second chance, and so can you. Is there a Jonah in this congregation this morning? You know in your heart that you failed the Lord, even to the point of disobedience. Do you know a Jonah? They failed the Lord in some way. Then share this word of encouragement with them. Don't just write them off. God did not write Jonah off. God has not written you off. You can know the Lord as the God of the second chance.